Tim never got through the first chapter of James. So we're going to pick it up in James, 19th verse. But, you know, when I was pondering this week, and they called and said, can you go ahead and teach Wednesday night, I started thinking about the book of James and who James was. And if I was going to title this book other than the name of the author, I would probably title this book Reflection. And that might seem like a strange title, but I feel like James in this book is trying to get us to reflect on who we are in Christ, to reflect on our walk. And then I started thinking about it a little more, and I thought, shouldn't we reflect the love of God to others? So when I was looking at this book and reading on it and pondering it, those were the thoughts that came to me. So I thought, reflection seems to be a pretty good title for this book if it wasn't called the Book of James. And I think all of us at times should really reflect on our walk. One of the things I like to do is I like to take off and go hunting, and I don't shoot a lot of animals, don't see a lot of animals. But what I do during that time is I reflect on my walk as a Christian from the previous year and try to figure out what I can do better in the next year, how I can be a better husband, better witness, better minister, or whatever. So I think there's times in our lives that we need to really reflect on our walk and how close we are with God, because we know that God wants to be really close with us. The only thing that's keeping us from a relationship with God is us. Yeah. God's done everything. He's, you know, I've had people, a guy once tell me, he goes, well, don't you think God would give us another shot? And I looked at him, I go, he gave you his son. What more do you want? And that kind of shook him. I was like, you know, if I poured out my son and you trample him underfoot, you think I'd want anything to do with you? I mean, seriously. So anyways, we're going to pick it up. We're going to go ahead and read the verses first. James 1st chapter, verse 19 through 27. And we're going to hopefully get out of chapter 1 this evening. So starting off in verse 19. In my book, it says, listening and doing. My dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry, because human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourself. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in the mirror and, after looking at himself, goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard, but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do. Those who consider themselves religious and do not keep a tight rein on their tongues deceive themselves. Their religion is worthless. Religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this: to look at orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. Polluted by the world. You know, I never realized that TV in 2021 would get so bad. I mean, it's horrible. I'm thinking I'm watching a decent show, and off they go with a foul mouth. And I thought, well, I thought you couldn't say that on TV. And now today it seems like all that's acceptable. And I'm always reminded how God said that, as it was in the times of Sodom and Gomorrah and Noah and all that, that it would be the same way on the second coming. So it really shouldn't take us by surprise. But what we need to do is not let what the world's doing rub off on us. And that's the problem I see with a lot of people, is we get around the world and we want to behave like the world and not as we should in Christ. And if we're going to be an effective witness for Jesus Christ, We got to show the love of Christ. We got to show the love that the Father has poured out onto us through his Son. And for years, I felt like we lost generations by preaching the wrong message, hell and brimstone. And it really bothered me because I knew a lot of people growing up that I tried to witness over the years, and they said, you know, they don't believe that they could ever be saved. All they ever heard was the fire and brimstone message. And God loves them. You know, and I've talked to several guys on the job site where they just have a hard time accepting that because for years the church preached a message and I don't really feel some of that message was God. Yes, there is a hell, and Jesus spoke a lot of it. But in this time and age, people need to hear the love of God. They need to hear of the mercies of God. They need to hear, come home's all forgiven. But it doesn't help if you're saying these things and you're a hypocrite. It doesn't help at all. So anyways, in the Bible, there are four areas we need to develop in order to become a mature in Christ, to become a more effective Christian. So I'm saying this, me reflecting on this year and about, I don't know, 3 or 4 months ago, I was at work and the boss said something to me that really pierced me kind of hard. And I didn't say nothing foul, but I made a sarcastic comment back. And when I was reading over James, I thought, you know, that really wasn't the right thing to do. And I know he was trying to bait me, and I know he was trying to get my goat, and he got it. But that isn't the way I should respond. But when he said it, I was like, I can't believe you just said that. So, but my reaction is what was wrong. I shouldn't expect him to act like a Christian when he's not. But I should be able to focus on me being a Christian in my response. And that sometimes, you know, like I tell people, I'm just as human as the next person. And if you catch me at the right time, you say something stupid, I could say something stupid. And it isn't right. And so I thought about this. Like I said, it happened 3 or 4 months ago. And I thought, you know what? You had no business saying that. Most of the time, I'm very good at turning the other cheek, biting my tongue. But this day, he just finally rubbed me the wrong way. And he was one that always liked to pick and pick, pick, pick. And that day, I finally had enough. But later, I thought about it, and I said, shame on me. Wrong response. See, I cannot blame him for the way he acts. But I sure can hold me accountable for the way I act. And I think that's one of the things the church needs to get back to, is us being accountable for the Word of God. So the first part I want you to pay attention to is be receptive to God's Word. A lot of Christians I talk to, I'll be honest with you, I can't tell you they ever finished a book in the Bible. Not one. Some guys I try to have conversations to on the job, find out they teach Sunday school, and I'll get in a conversation about something in Scripture, and it goes right over their head. I was like, how long have you taught in Sunday school? Oh, about 15 years. And I was kind of shocked that they knew so little of what was here. And it's like, really? And most of the time when I find a Christian that I will say is an immature Christian, it's because they don't spend time reading their Word. They don't spend time in the presence of God. They don't spend time in prayer, and you could see it in the way they walk. And it's not being judgmental, it's just being truthful. Years ago when I was assistant manager at Track Auto, I had this young man come in, and he was working with me, and I heard him talk a couple times. I said, so I knew I was going to witness to him. And then one day I said something to him, he goes, well, you know I'm a Christian. And I said, well, good, let's go back to the parts counter. Nobody's back there. We need to have a conversation. And I just wanted to ask him, where are you at with your walk? How did you get saved? And that way I would understand a better way that I can help this young man out. And I remember we went back there and we talked. And I said, well, how did you get saved? And he goes, well, I was dating a preacher's daughter. I accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. But then when we broke up, I never went back to church. Don't know nothing. And I go, there's a better way. God has more for you than what you have become. And so I sat there and I brought out my Bible. We had a conversation for a while. And what I was trying to do is encourage him to get in his word, to read his word, to pray. Because we grow better and we become more like Christ-like when we're spending time with him and when we're spending time in his word. So we have to be receptive to the word of God. And is it always kind when we read it? When I was a young Christian, a lot of this book was very offensive to me. When I started reading, don't do this, don't do that, and I'm like, boy, am I in trouble. But the more you read, and the more you spend time with God, and the more you spend time with the Holy Spirit, and you worship, the more he'll reveal himself to you. Go ahead, Ed.
Jim talked about that, how sometimes our toes are going to get stepped on.
Yes. And, you know, I remember years ago, I went to a church when I first got back to Colorado Springs, and this was 1992. And preacher preached a sermon, and I left there mad. And I didn't tell anybody I was mad. I left there mad. And I remember going home, and I decided I needed to pray about it. And I got in my closet, you know, by myself with God, and I said, you know, I am not going back to that church. I go, that dude just preached my life story from that pulpit and told everybody what a dirtbag I am. And God spoke to me. He said, that was message wasn't just for you. And he goes, he doesn't know you from the Pope. But you have a choice from here. You can either continue in me or you can move on. The choice is yours. And so after sulking for about an hour, I humbled myself, went back to prayer, talked to God, and got past it. Because if you're not living right, this Bible's going to straighten you out if you spend enough time in it. And I like the phrase Jim always says, we can do it the easy way or we can do it the hard way. But God wants to get the job done. And I remember telling that to one of my sons when I was having a lot of trouble with him. I looked at him one day and I said, look, boy, I go, I got to make a man out of you. And I got to make a good product of society. And we can do it the easy way or the hard way, but I got to get the job done. And I think God sometimes looks at the church and says, you know, there's work to be done in each and every one of us. And I can tell you, there's no way am I perfect. Don't even look at me perfect. I love the Lord with all my heart. I understand that it's by grace I am saved and by his kindness, his love and mercy, and lasts forever. That's what I'm betting on, because I am not betting on my righteousness. I'm just not going to do it. So the first thing I want you to pay attention to, we got to be receptive. We got to, when we read this word, when we get into James or any other book, we want to find out why is he writing this letter? And James is just saying, hey, take personal responsibility for your own action. That's basically what James is saying. I call it reflection. When I go hunting, I reflect on the year. I reflect on how I can improve, try to get better. And sometimes, you know, I got one of them stinking attitudes, you know. And it's like, no, I can't have that. Or, you know, say, hey, look at your past. I know how filthy it was. That's why I needed a Savior. Okay? So the first thing we need to do, you need to get in this word. We need to read this word. We need to study this word. And if you got a question, bring it to one of the pastors. They'll help you out. My example growing up as a Christian was always looking at the pastors. Because to be honest with you, most pastors knew were the better men of the church. They loved their wives. They treated them respectfully. Loved their children. They were doing the best they could to walk with God. And all those things I wanted to be. I wanted to be a better person, better husband, better father. And I could see that in the pastors. And I respected every pastor I had that I was under. So as a young Christian, I tried to model what they were doing so I could learn. And that's what God expects all of us to do, because he doesn't want to leave you where you're at. I mean, can anybody in here say they're perfectly satisfied where they're at today in the Lord? Are we willing to say, God, I'm willing to change? I mean, if I always thought as a parent, if I improved better than my parents, then my kids improve better than me, and so on, sooner or later we'd have some pretty good parents. So I tried to do everything I could to be a good example on loving my wife, the way I talk to my kids, the way I talk to others. And the reason being is because other people are watching us. Even on the job site, I try to be respectful. I don't care if the head physician comes over from the hospital or he's a laborer. I try to be very respectful of all of them because every soul is important to God. All right? So the first thing I want to say, we need to be receptive to God's word, but we really need to listen to his word, to the Holy Spirit, and to seek him with all of our hearts. If your ears are clear, plugged, you're not going to hear. There's several guys I ran into over the years. They belong to another denomination. And all they think about is, they're going to hell and I don't care. And I'm like, what? Well, I'm holy, I'm perfect, I'm just, and they're going to hell. And I tried to talk to them several times, and the more I talked to them, the more I was lost. Because their idea was, since I'm now holy, I don't need to associate with them because they're going to hell. I'm like, you missed the message. First of all, you're not perfect. Nobody is. Religion is one of those things I feel that, or I should say, a cult is something done in secret. And you can apply that to a lot of places when you look up the word occult, when it says something done in secret. And so these guys, for about 2 years, God had me out there trying to witness to them to the point where I said, God, they're in your hands. Nothing I say is going to change their mind. And if they don't get in your word and really seek you with all their heart, soul, and mind, they're not going to change. And the problem is nobody on the job site liked those guys. Isn't that a bad example of who we're supposed to be? And to me, I wanted, if they didn't get nothing else out of it, to say, Dwayne's a good man. And I remember my brother went to another job, and he said, do you remember so-and-so? And I go, yeah. He said he never met a guy more fair than you've been on the jobs, and he was really impressed with your walk. That's what I want to hear. I don't want anybody to say that he's a hypocrite. And so what he's saying in these scriptures here, he said, examine yourself before God. Examine yourself according to God's word, not according to the world. Don't examine yourself to the guy next to you. A guy once told me, he goes, well, I'm a pretty good guy. I go, are you? He goes, oh, yeah, I'm a good guy. I go, really? I said, who are you examining yourself to? The murderer, the rapist in prison? Oh, yeah. I said, okay, now I want you to examine yourself next to Jesus Christ, who knew no sin, had no sin, and was love. How do you stack up? And he bowed his head, and he looked up to me, he goes, not too good. We have work to do. And I think all of us have work to do, but if we close our hearts and plug our ears, you can read this book, and it's not going to do you any good. But I guarantee you, if you go in prayer and you say, Father, change me. Open the ears of my heart so that I may hear. See, that's all God's after is your heart. In 2 Chronicles, there was a king, and you guys probably always heard about him, and his name was Hezekiah. And Hezekiah was in a lot of ways trying to do right by the Lord. He wasn't a perfect king, but he was, according to Israel and Judea, the kings they had, he was a pretty good king. But anyways, he went to battle with Jeru, another king, and the prophet came out, and he said, I can't believe you went with that guy. And basically, I'm trying not to take this out of context, so I'm trying to give you the story. But Jeru did not serve God, but Hezekiah was seeking God. And so the prophet said, he goes, there is, however, some good in you, for you have rid the land of the Asher poles and have set your heart on seeking God. And that's 2 Chronicles 19:3. And the only thing I see that Hezekiah really did wrong here was he shouldn't have yoked up with an ungodly person. Does that make sense? He shouldn't have. Too many times we hook up because, I'm a witness, so I'm going to witness to him over here and go over there. And unfortunately, they go the wrong way. But what I liked about Hezekiah, he basically said Hezekiah was trying to get the sin out. He was trying to get the idols out of his life. And the major part of this, he goes, your heart is right because you're seeking God. And that's where we got to start. We got to get our hearts right and say, God, I don't know how hard this is going to hurt. Help me. Change the Dwayne. In marriage counsel, a lot of times, I always had the other spouse saying, well, I keep praying, God, change my spouse. God, change the spouse. God, change the spouse. And I'm like, when you're in prayer, God's not dealing with your spouse. He's dealing with you. Y-O-U. He's dealing with Dwayne when I'm in prayer. So I tell him, why don't you pray that God give me a love for my spouse? God, give me, help me to be the example to my spouse. Change me, not my spouse. I've read so many articles of when the man or female would finally give in to God's word and walk according to what God called to, like in 2 Peter, where God says, wives, submit to your husband, how it turned the whole marriage around. In America, we have a serious problem of manhood. Would anybody agree with that? There's a problem with manhood. And the problem is we got a problem with also the women on the other side. And I know it started with Adam and Eve. God said, your desire be for your man. So the woman wants the head of the household. The man should be the head of the household. And one of the things I always tell them is, if you take your rightful place, things seem to work out a lot easier. And it's, with me, it's, God never called the man to lord it over his wife. He called the husband to love his wife. You know, me and Gaylene will talk, we'll pray. And she'll look at me and says, the decision's yours. And I'm like, okay, well, the problem is that puts it on my shoulders. So I go to God and, what do you want me to do with this? But we in America, we got this marriage thing so goofed up that what we have in, even in the churches, we have conflicts in the household. I remember when I was a young Christian, pulling up church and just arguing with my wife, getting out of the car, and everybody goes, how you doing, brother? Praise God, I'm good. No, I wasn't good. We just got in a disagreement out in the parking lot. We need to see God's call for our lives, our responsibility, what we do, not what the spouse does. I don't know how many times I've talked to people and had a real problem. And the hardest one I actually had was a couple that were Native Indians. And in their tribe, I don't want to mention the tribe or anything, the wives were always in control. And I'll tell you what, it was a marriage that for years I worked on. And I can't tell you it ever got any better. Because in that, she was in charge and that's the way she was going to have it. And I said, that burden wasn't meant for you to carry. Can we all agree that men or women are different? God has placed us for a purpose. And I think when we get in the Word of God, if we pay attention and we seek Him, we can get Him to reveal to us our walk. And that's what James is saying. You got to pay attention to what you're doing. What you're doing. This thing is going to drive me crazy. In Psalm, the third thing I want to talk about is James says, control the tongue. You know how he talks about that little evil thing there? That tongue there? you know, in Psalm 141:3, it says, take control of what I say, O Lord, and guard my lips. How about from gossip? How about from foul language? One of the two killers I've seen in churches over the many years I've been in it is one, gossip, and the other one's unforgiveness. I've seen it destroy a lot of people over the years. I've seen it destroy marriages. And, you know, that's one of the things I was extremely blessed here, and I think it's because of Pastor Jim and Kathy and Tracy and Kelly, and they're strong leaders. And I think that really helps the body to understand stupidity won't be tolerated. And I agree with that philosophy because I've been to churches where it was allowed to run wild and it caused a lot of damage in a lot of people. Some of them people left the church and have never been back to God since that time. So gossip, we need to take control of our lips. There's no room in gossip in the church. There is no room for it. I mean, are we not called brothers and sisters? So we're a family. And you might not like me, and that's okay. You wouldn't be the first, and I'm sure you won't be the last. But it doesn't mean we have to say anything rude or bad or wrong with one another. There's no room for gossip. If you don't agree with something that I say, come up to me afterwards. Don't go around saying, hey, that boy doesn't know what he's talking about. Gossip has no place in the church, and neither does unforgiveness. And put perverse lips behind me. Foul language. I don't know why. I have a niece one day. She went off and I said, girlfriend, that makes you sound like a two-year-old. Clean up your mouth. And she goes, uncle, this is how I am. I said, it's pathetic. Quit. And she just looked at me. There's no room for that in a Christian's mouth. I mean, I've hit my thumb with a hammer. Sometimes that hammer doesn't know what nail to hit. And it gets the wrong one, and you still won't hear foul mouth out of me. And I remember they asked the guy on the job, he's worked with me for about 14 years, and they go, you ever hear Dwayne cuss? He goes, not once. You ever seen him get hurt? Oh, yeah. Just because I get hurt doesn't mean I have to use a foul language. All right, so gossip, control the tongue, James says. Keep that tongue under control. Verse 20, it says, I want to read something out of Ephesians 4:26. It says, a calm demeanor. And 4:26 says, and don't sin by letting anger control you. Don't let the sun go down while you are still angry. For anger gives a foothold to the devil. Anger. Boy, I know a lot of people that can't control that. How about road rage? I get it every now and then. Someone cuts me off, I'm like, oh boy. But I still don't let foul words come out of my mouth. Maybe I got that thing in the wrong ear. Let's try another ear, shall we? All right. So anyways, anger. Anger does not belong in the Christian. I don't care what anybody says. I know a lot of people say, well, this is how God made me. Change. I dealt with a person that had a lot of anger issues. And one day I preached from the pulpit and I said, power is not losing your temper. Power is controlling it. For you either have control over your emotions or your emotions have control over you. Does that make sense? Anger. I used to be a very angry kid. And sometimes I look up and I just say thank you. I was raised in a violent alcoholic household, so anger was easy for me. I could drop of a hat, didn't care. Been in barroom fights and all kinds of stuff, got beat up by the best of them. But anger isn't something that is becoming to a Christian. It's not something we should do. If someone cuts you off, say, hey, let the Lord rebuke you. Sometimes I call him a fish, a son of a guppy. My wife goes, what are you doing? I go, it makes me laugh. It just makes me laugh. That way I don't get angry. God still loves that person that cut me off. The other day, I guess I crossed over in the lane a little bit, and this lady blew her horn. I looked over at her, and she is yelling and screaming and hollering. I'm looking, and I thought it was kind of funny. And I wasn't trying to make her any madder, but watching her, I just started laughing. I go, that's kind of comical. Yeah. It's not like I purposely went over there or I was trying to cause any grief. But anger is something that we need to grab a foothold on in the church. So no gossip, no anger, control the tongue. Didn't he say something about listening? Someone once said we have two ears and one mouth. Get it? Listen twice as much. So we need to develop a clean life. How? Romans 12 makes it pretty easy. Romans 12. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your body as a living sacrifice. Holy. Holiness isn't preached so much anymore. I've seen that kind of go the way of the dodo bird in a lot of churches. I've been to churches where it's a topical Don't hurt their feelings. Just make sure they go home feeling good that they showed up on Sunday. And I don't like topical churches. If my toes need to be stepped on, I want the Holy Spirit to grab a hold of me and say, hey, you got some areas to work on. So holy and pleasing to God. Doesn't say man. Holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not be conformed to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. You know, I didn't realize how much was sin until I picked up this book and started reading it. I didn't know how jacked up my life was until I picked up this book and started reading it. There's a neighborhood I grew up with. Most of the guys came out of Vietnam and Korea, and they're all violent alcoholics. So I just thought I fed it in with everybody else until I started reading this book, and a drunkard won't enter the kingdom of heaven. I think I took my first drink when I was 11 years old. And nobody, my parents never said anything about it. Was drinking ever since then. I never really controlled me, but wasn't a lifestyle that I was proud of. And it sure doesn't lead to holiness. All right. So renewing your mind, that's going to take you into spending time with God and in His Word. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. Psalm 119:37 says, turn my eyes from worthless things and give me life through your word. Interesting. Sometimes I look at that TV and I say, boy, that thing's worthless. Anybody see good news come out of that thing lately? Worthless. So, in verse 21, James asks us to humbly accept the word of God. In other words, to welcome. Show hospitality to it. Interesting. To welcome it. God changed me. I can tell you now, I'm 10 times the man I used to be, but I haven't arrived yet. But I thank God for where He's brought me from. And that's the key. Do we want a better marriage? The only way you're going to get it is through this word. You're not going to get it anywhere else. Do we want, how many of you here like the way this world is going, or could you use a little peace in your life? Yeah. A guy asked me one day, he goes, you don't drink? Nope. You don't party? Nope. You don't go to bars? Nope. He goes, man, sounds like a boring life. I go, I got a peaceful life and I enjoy every bit of it. Unless I do something stupid and mess it up, I'm happy. Peace. A lot to be said about that word. In Hebrews 4:12, for the word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing souls and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God. Interesting. God's sight, it actually says. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of Him to whom we must all give account. There's some things in the Bible that I read the first time and it clicked. Just like that. Because God really said, you need to work here, now. Years ago when I chewed tobacco, I was so worried about my witness and me chewing tobacco to be a bad witness. And I feel that looking back, I was trying to work on my marriage and getting me to be a better man for my household. But I think God knew I was focusing too much on tobacco. One day I was walking to 7-Eleven by another can, and God spoke to me and He said, you don't need that no more. And He took that desire right away from me. And I think He was just trying to get me to really focus on being a good witness, but having a bad marriage wasn't a good witness. That make sense? So I think God finally said, okay, I got to get this tobacco thing behind Him so He can focus on what's more important, and that's for Him to love His wife. That's for him to be a godly man. And I wasn't doing it the right way. And I think God just finally said, you know what? I've had enough of you battling this tobacco thing. I'll get rid of it for you so you can focus on the things that are more important. And I think that's what the Word of God does. I think it gets us to focus in on what's more important. Everything around us is perishing away. You know, when I was young, I remember when I first got married, a lot of my friends got married, went to all kinds of marriages. A couple years later, baby showers left and right were going on. And now I go to more funerals. And for all of us, that door is going to come sooner or later. And I'm like, God, if you don't come quickly, take me quickly. I think I've had enough of this planet. In verse 22-24, James, I'm going to read that again. And I got to turn this around. Okay. The guy that invented these didn't have to wear one. All right. Shall we? Okay. Verse 22 and 24. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourself. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do it, what it says is like someone who looks in his face in the mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom, that's in Christ, grace, and continues in it, not forgetting what he has heard, but doing it, they will be blessed in whatever they do. Didn't Jesus say, if you love me, you keep my commands? I told people all the time, God never made a suggestion. I have never seen God make a suggestion in that book, and I've read it a lot of times. When God speaks to me, he always tells me, he doesn't say, I suggest you do this. My dad used to do that. I remember one day he goes, I suggest you don't do that, and it's whatever happened, I got hurt. And I go, really? You let me do that? He goes, oh. He goes, I told you not to, but I figured you wouldn't listen, so you're going to have to learn the hard way. And I shook my head. God is trying to tell us there's an easier way. There's a peaceful life. And it's there. We just got to seek him, and we'll find it. Submission requires a response. Are we submissive to God? Are we submissive to our bosses? Are we submissive to one another? Didn't God say be submissive one to another? You know why? Because that puts you more of a servant's role than a dictator's role. If you're not in it to get anything, you're better off, especially in your marriage. I always heard people say, give 50% of the time. No, give 100%. Give all you have into that marriage. Give all that you have into Christ. Because if you give all that you have, you've done everything you can. I'm willing to bet your marriage will turn out better. Because if you're saying 50% of the time, you're keeping score, and that's not going to work. Don't keep score. Give 100% into that marriage, and I guarantee you God will bless that marriage. I don't ever think of my marriage that, well, I did this today, and she didn't do that. I don't. What I try to do is love my wife and serve her. If I love her, I'm going to serve her. I'm going to help her out any way I can. You know? It shouldn't be beneath a man to mop or sweep or do dishes. You know? Shouldn't. I don't care. Galen says, hey, you mind mopping? Nope. Mind vacuuming? No. Can you help me out with dishes? Sure. You know? It doesn't matter to me. Because I'm not keeping score. In our household, we're a team. In the body of Christ, we are a team. We are a family of God. And if we work together and all pull the weight, it becomes a lot lighter for all of us. And a lot more joy and peace. But if we're nitpicking and backbiting and slandering, I mean, come on. Okay, Luke 11:28. He replied, blessed rather are those that hear the word, that's Jesus, of God, and obey it. Who are blessed? Those that hear the word of God. Those that study the word of God and obey it. Not lip service. Yeah, I had a guy once tell me, well, you know, I read that book. It didn't do me no good. I go, have you received Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior? Nope. I go, well, that's why it didn't do you no good. It's a spiritual book requiring a spiritual person. And if your spirit is shut off from God, you're not going to get much out of this. But if you're born again, you have now become a spiritual creature in Christ. Therefore, pick up your spiritual food, which is the Word of God, and start feeding yourself. I am so tired of people saying, well, I'm not getting fed. You're not an infant. It isn't my job to feed you. You feed an infant. Am I correct? It's not my job to feed you. Pick up your Bible, read it. Got a question? We can discuss it. But pick up your Word and read it. I'm not a babysitter. And it's I don't know why people expect the church to feed them. I'm not getting enough out. Well, how much do you read at home? None. Don't blame me. You're starving. You're spiritually starving. I can see it. Pick up your Word and read it. So Jesus said, blessed rather are those that hear the Word of God and obey it. When we look into the mirror, we either like what we see or we don't like what we see. I notice I'm missing hair in a lot of places lately, but we need to reflect on our walk, our attitude, and our demeanor. There was a time in my life I looked in that mirror and couldn't stand what was looking back at me. There was a song years ago, I think Michael Jackson sung it. I'm looking at the man in the mirror. I'm asking him to change his ways. That's what I had to do. I had to look in the mirror, and if I had to change my ways if I was going to like what was looking back at me. Interesting. We need to reflect on our walk, our attitudes, our demeanor. Verse 25 says, but whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what he had heard, but doing it, they will be blessed. You know, there's a blessing every time it says when you're obedient. Did you notice that when we were reading this? It says you're blessed if you spend time in the Word. You're blessed if you do what's in the Word. Interesting. Verse 26, those who consider themselves religious and do not keep a tight rein on their tongues, deceive themselves, and their religion is worthless. Religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this: to look after orphans and widows in their distress and keep oneself from being polluted by the world. I'm going to be honest with you. There's a lot of pollution out there, and it can be on the radio, and it can be on the TV. It can be at your workplace, but it shouldn't be in us. Years ago, I had a lady in church come up to me screaming right after service was done, and she's hollering, time out. And she keeps screaming. I go, hold on. How long have you been a Christian? She put her hands on her hips, shook her head, said, 13 years. I said, then it's time to grow up. She got mad, ran to the pastor's office. And later, I talked to the pastor. I go, you mad at me? He goes, no, I'm hoping she'll listen to you. I go, I guess I could have said it a little easier. Later, I had the opportunity to talk with the lady. And she, the problem was there was a lot of gossip she was sending. And she was backbiting. It was causing a lot of grief in the church. And I finally had enough. And I said, grow up. And later she looked at me and she goes, you know what? I have been a Christian for 13 years. I haven't been reading my Bible. And I think you're right. It's time to grow up. And I think for some people, it is really time to grow up. This is not a nursery. And if you're looking for a nursery, you're in the wrong spot. Pastor does an amazing job of breaking down the Word. I don't see how he can make it any simpler. And it's the main reason I stayed here was I wanted Dwayne to be fed. You know, I've read this book a lot, but boy, Jim knows Greek. So, Proverbs 3, we're going to end with this. It says, my son, do not forget my teaching, and this is God speaking, but keep my commandments in your heart. Why? Well, it's purpose. He said, for they will prolong your life many years. and bring peace and bring you peace and prosperity. So what? We study the Word of God. We spend time with God. Bring a little peace into your life. Some prosperity. Sounds worth it to me. Let's go a little farther. Let love and faithfulness never leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. Then you will find favor and a good name in the sight of God and man. I used to tell my kids all the time, look, your name is all you have. And you deserve the name you got. So either you got a respectful name because you've been respectful, or you got a bad name. But it's all you have, so treat people with respect. And when people talk about you, let them bring a smile to your face. Say, he's a good man. But it's all you have. It's your name. And anybody needs to find favor with God and man now and then? I know I sure do. Tell me not. Tell me next time you face a judge if you need a little bit of favor. I've been in meetings where things were bad when I had my own company. And once it was going to cost me a lot of money, and I went to that meeting and I talked to them. And I remember going in there before that, I prayed and I said, Father, somehow I need favor. And he turned it around. It didn't cost me a dime. They said, Dwayne, don't worry about it. We know it all got damaged. If you'll replace it, we'll pay to fix it. Okay. Favor. I like to have favor with God. Proverbs 3:5, trust in the Lord with all your heart. How much of your heart? So when things are going bad, what do? When things are going good, it's easy to trust God, right? But what happens if you go and you lose your job? Trust in the Lord with how much of your heart? All. That's, to me, that's not tough no more. It used to be tough, but and lean not onto your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him. And he will make your paths straight. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and shun evil. This will bring health to your body and nourishment to your bones. All of Proverbs 3 is pretty good. I think I'm going to... we'll go a little farther. So you need a healthy body? Fear the Lord and shun evil. Honor the Lord with your wealth. Anybody here get a paycheck? Honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of your crop. Then your barns will be full to overflowing, and your vats will brim over like new wine. In other words, God expects us to pay our tithe. My sons, do not despise the Lord's discipline. And do not resent his rebuke, because the Lord disciplines those he loves as the father, the son he delights in. Hey, how many parents we got in here? Is it fun to discipline your child? Why do you do it then? Because it's the right thing to do. God disciplines us. God didn't tell me when I'm wrong. God's told me to apologize to people when I thought I didn't do anything wrong. He goes, I didn't ask you if you did anything wrong. I asked you to go apologize. Okay. We don't understand that God pays attention to everything we do because we are his children. We are his kids. We are his family. We're family, isn't that? Families don't always get along, but we can always walk in love. Amen. I'm going to leave it there. And I'm going to close in prayer. Any questions? So pick up your spiritual food this week. You might have to take little bites to start out with. But feed yourself, please. You will be glad you did, honestly. The more I read, the more I'm amazed at how far God's brought me. And like I said, God has a lot of work to do. I'm just glad that God never gave up on me.